Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading comes today from Romans 14, 1 to 8. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Thanks, Easter. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that we can come together as a family this evening, Lord God, and honor you and give you thanks. Thank you for your word, Lord God, that brings life to us. And so, Father, today we invite you, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this place. Speak to each and every one of us individually. We open our minds and our hearts to hear from you, God. Speak to us through your word in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Hi, everybody. Yes, so good to have you all here. Welcome to Every Nation Logan. My name is Henry. I'm one of the leaders here in Every Nation Logan. Welcome to those that are joining us online as well. Thank you for joining us this evening. And so it's really good to be here today. You know, with the video that was shown just before about PNG, we just want to say thank you to our church. Thank you to our Logan family for sowing into that. Yes, our Logan family helped sow into the work over in PNG. We sowed some money and were able to donate it towards purchasing some tablets for those very students that were part of that program. And so thank you. Thank you for your donation. Thank you for helping out in that family. Is that all right? Okay, so let's get started. Okay, so as you all know, we are in the middle, nearing the end, of our Grace Changes Everything series, right? We're up to chapter 14, okay? And so the title of my message today is The Gray Areas. Everyone say, The Gray Areas. Question, if you could strengthen one area of your life, what would it be? If you could strengthen one area of your life, what would it be? Would it be finances, so that you could have a better financial position to be able to support and bless other people and organizations that you know that you believe in and that you are passionate about? Maybe you want to be able to start your own business, your own not-for-profit organization. So having that extra financial capital or knowledge will enable you to begin that process. What about your physical life? I know I want a change in that. Wanting to be better shape, right? Instead of being pear-shaped like me, you know, you probably want to look like Koppa, right? Koppa looks like a solid guy, right? Fit guy. You want more energy. You want to feel stronger. You want to be more active. You want to make better choices when it comes to the meals that you're feeding your body. Or maybe you want to strengthen your knowledge. Wanting to know more about a certain topic or a certain area. Maybe you know someone that has a particular disease, and so you want to be able to acquire the necessary knowledge to be able to help find a cure or something. But how do we know which is right? Which is the right answer and which is the wrong answer? How do we decide what is right and wrong? Well, we could just figure it out ourselves. Or we could see how our favorite movie star does it, right? Maybe we could check out the influencers on Instagram, right? Surely they know what to do. They influence people. Isn't that what they do, right? Or what about your favorite YouTuber? Maybe they have something on their YouTube channel that would help guide you and lead you in the right direction. Yeah, maybe not. Or we could go to the Word of God. We could go to the Bible. We could open up the Bible, the book that has been around thousands of years, is the most accurate document in all of history, is the best-selling and most distributed book in all of history, written by authors that were inspired and led by God. Chapter 14 of our reading today that was read by Easter. Paul wants to give us guidance. He wants to help us to find out how to find God's will in the gray areas. In the gray areas. The gray areas are those places of discussion where we can all have a different opinion on, right? So Paul writes that for those who are in Christ, there are some actions that are clearly right for setting, you know, like setting ourselves apart to love and serve people around us, or submitting to authorities, right? These are some of the things that Pastor Nelly has been talking about the last couple of weeks. Other things that are clearly wrong, things like sexual immorality, jealousy, drunkenness. So that leaves areas that are open to the question of how do we do that? How do we navigate through those areas? Areas like drinking, smoking, going to parties, nightclubs, working in places where they sell alcohol. Think about it. These things are not clearly right or wrong in the Bible, but everyone has a different opinion about it, right? So how do we find God's will in the gray areas? Romans 14:12 says this, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." We need to begin at the end and remind ourselves that we will each give an account to God. Now, Paul here is talking about what is known as the judgment seat of Christ. It's described more fully in 2 Corinthians 5:10. This judgment is not about salvation, but we will give an account to Christ of the works that we do with our life. So how have we used our lives? What have we done with our life? The life that has been entrusted to each of us. And the things that we have done will either be lasting or they will be worthless, right? So hopefully we're living lives that are building for fruitfulness, that are building for things that will last, a legacy, where we will stand when we stand before Christ, then we can say, we can give that good report, right? So we've come up with this acronym that will help us initiate and navigate how we can find God's will in these gray areas. And so the acronym is GREY. Everyone say GREY. GREY. G-R-E-Y. Okay? So, G, how is God honored in this? How is God honored in this? Romans 14, 6 to 8 says this, "The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." So whether we're consuming or abstaining from anything, whatever it is, if we're doing it with a heart of thanks, if we're doing it in a way that we're honoring God, this is the way that you are honoring God, then that's between you and God. That's between me and God. No one else can or should impose their opinion on us or their perspective on how we believe that this is how you want to honor God, right? Because that's between you and God. But yet this continues to happen in the church today. Question, how has the church honored God up to this point? How has the church honored God up to this point? Well, if we look through church history, there have been many moments throughout the years of the church where it has failed to honor or glorify God in a worthy manner. Whether it's been through abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, verbal abuse, leadership control, or the misuse of church resources from the very leaders that are supposed to be leading these great churches. So there can be this hidden agenda or a hidden culture within some churches that do not ask this question regularly enough. And that is, how is God honored in this? How is God honored in this? To remind themselves of how God should be honored in the church. And so the church has been the one that has been labeled as the one that hurts people. The church has been the one that has been labeled that breaks people. The church has been the one that has been labeled as it turns people away from God. In a book that our staff are reading at the moment, A Church Called Tove by Scott McKnight and Laura Barringer. Now, Tove is the Hebrew word for good. And the authors speak about a moment that they experienced firsthand of the church that they were attending and closely connected with. And how there, when allegations of misconduct came out about the leader of that church, the people that were making the allegations were people that they knew personally to themselves, to them. And they were people that they knew that they were good, they had good character. They knew that these people were full of integrity. They were honest and they were trusted people. So when the church responded, it responded in a very sad but predictable way, protecting the leader and throwing uncertainty and doubt onto the very people that bravely came forward to reveal these things. This is not a church called Tove. This is not a culture of a church called Tove. The word Tove is mentioned right in the beginning in the book of Genesis. It's mentioned 7 times. Light is Tove. Land and sea is Tove. Plants are Tove. Day and night are Tove. Sea animals and birds are Tove. Land animals are Tove. And then the 7th, God saw that all he had made, and it was very Tove. It was very good. The book is focused on forming church culture that God can look at and say, now that's Tove. That's good. But I just want to highlight one aspect of this Tove forming culture that I believe can be a great starting place for us as a church here in Logan. And it's this one, that Tove churches nurture grace. Tove churches nurture grace. And this is how the book defines it. It says that grace-filled goodness begins in forgiveness, forms into freedom, and resists fear, all because it knows that God's design for the church is love. Forgiveness is such a key part in a grace-filled goodness environment. It is the starting point. It is the hardest place to begin at, but is the most necessary place to begin at. Forgiving someone else, forgiving someone, forgiving ourselves, forgiving someone who's very close to us, that's tough, but that's the place where we need to begin, because that will enable freedom to be experienced. And fear has to be resisted. Fear has to be resisted. We need to make a stand against fighting against that spirit of fear for all parties, not just protecting one side of the party, for all parties. Because where there is fear, then the truth won't come out. So when a brother or a sister comes up to you and they begin to have a discussion about something that they may have a different perspective about, that's not a non-essential issue, will you rip into them because they have a different perspective? Or will you extend grace-filled goodness to them? Because that is how God wants us to operate, by extending grace-filled goodness to people, by giving grace to people. A Tove-forming church that nurtures grace understands that this is an opportunity to give someone something. God gave us this beautiful gift, the gift of redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. Grace is not something that we deserve or can earn. It's freely given by our almighty and generous Father and God. Am I creating a grace-filled environment around me, or am I sucking the life out of it and everyone around? The next one, R. Everyone all right in here? Not too heavy? It's good? Okay, so next one is R. When you read the scriptures, what does he say? When we read the word, what does the Bible say? What is the word of God saying to you? Search for ourselves what the Bible is saying about this. Don't just, you know, don't just rely on that 30-second Insta story that you just saw, and then all of a sudden you're an expert in it, right? Read the Bible for yourselves. Read the Bible for ourselves. Search the Bible. Let God speak to you through his word. I want to read from Romans 14, verses 22 to 23. And this is in the Message translation. And I love how it puts this. It says, cultivate your own relationship with God. Cultivate your own relationship with God. Husbands and wives, you have a personal relationship to God. You don't come together and go before God. You have your own personal relationship, husband. You have your own personal relationship, wife. You have your own personal relationship, young person. Cultivate that. Build that. Develop that with God. But don't impose it on others. Don't force it upon other people. That's your personal relationship with God. You're fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent, if they're consistent. But if you're not sure, if you notice that you are acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinion on others, other days just trying to please them, then you know you're out of line. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. Pretty straightforward, huh? If our behavior isn't consistent with what we believe, then we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Let me tell you this story. There's this lady, and she went to the pastor and said, I won't be attending this church anymore. And the pastor was like, okay, may I ask why? And she said, I see people on their phones all the time. They're gossiping. Some just ain't living right. They're all just hypocrites. And the pastor got silent and then he said, okay, but can I ask you to do something for me before you make your final decision? She said, sure, what's that? He said, take this glass of water and I want you to walk around the church 2 times, focusing on the glass of water. Make sure no water falls out of it, okay? That's all I want you to just do that 2 times around the church. And she says, yeah, sure, I can do that. And when she came back, she said, it's done. Then the pastor says, can I ask you a couple of questions? Did you see anybody on their phone? Did you see anybody gossiping? Did you see anybody living wrong? She said, well, no, I didn't see any of that because I was so focused on the glass because I didn't want any water to fall out. That's what you said. And then he told her, when you come to church, you should be just that focused on God so that you don't fall. That's why Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say follow Christians. Paul even reiterates that when he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Don't let your relationship with God be determined by how others relate to God. Relate with God. Let it be determined by how focused you are on God. Amen? How focused are you on God? Or are you too worried about the person next to you and what they're wearing and how they did their hair or what car they're driving? Focus on God. Okay, our next one, E. Everyone say E. Does it dull or enhance your encounter with God's presence? Romans 4:18 says this, whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. You know, to pursue something, right, is to make it a priority. Is it your priority to bring peace and mutual upbuilding in the situations that you're in? Because Paul is encouraging us to go after that. Peace. When the fire is burning in that situation you're in, Do you try and add water, or are you adding flame, more kerosene to it to make it burn more? Come on. I know. I've done that before. We're supposed to be the peacemakers, not the flamethrowers. Paul's encouraging us to make it a priority to pursue peace and building up others around us. Each day we have an opportunity to encounter the Holy Spirit, to be led by Him, right? Into every situation. But who knows that sometimes, or a lot of times, because I'm talking from experience here, we don't even acknowledge that He's there with us. We don't even ask Him, right? Even though He's right there with us, He's living inside of us, He's with us, but yet we don't invite Him into those moments of our life. So can I challenge each of us, including myself, next time when you're in a gray area of discussion with someone, why don't we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how can we honor God in this situation? How can we win this person and not just the situation? How can we share your love in this situation? Now, I truly believe that when we ask the Holy Spirit, that He will answer. And this is strengthened and confirmed when we're reading our Bible. From the time that we have spent reading and searching for ourselves, hearing from the Spirit of God as He speaks to us through His Word, we don't need to win every battle because God has already won the war. I remember me and my wife, we went to the hospital, this was a few years ago, to visit a friend that was in ICU. And as we were there, we were praying for this brother. And then as we were leaving, this lady approaches us, total stranger. She comes up to us and she says, hey, I saw you guys praying for your friend there. Would it be okay if you come and pray for my daughter? And I was like, whoa, okay, we'll come. We found out that her daughter had been in an accident in their pool at home, and she was now in a coma and on life support. Man, I remember walking into that room and seeing this, I don't know, 11, 12-year-old girl lying on this bed. And I remember asking God, please give me the words. Give me the words to speak to this young girl. Give me the words to speak to this family. You know, when we're asked to take up a spiritual battle on behalf of someone else, we shouldn't have to ask them 20 million questions about their religious background and their biblical worldview. The very fact that we have been asked or invited to pray should be enough for us to say, okay, God, it's your turn now. God, they asked me, but God, I know this is your time. God, speak to this family. Meet the need of this family right now, God. In all honesty, I don't know what happened to that girl that day, but I do know this. I know that God prompted me, and I know that God was in that place, and I know that God was invited into that family situation, and that God had His way. The more that we are in the Word of God, the softer our hearts become. The more we invite and allow the Holy Spirit to have His way, the less work we have to do. Because we understand that we don't need to be always right, but we should be receiving of those that may have a different perspective from us. We should be welcoming them, making them feel part of the family. When we are operating in that level, in that posture, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work. Amen? That's evidence that His gifts are being shared through us for the glory of God. Be honest. Are you pursuing the presence of God or the presence of God? Now, if you're listening, you probably, Henry, you just repeated yourself. No, presence, C-E, presence, T-S, right? The presence of God. Are you pursuing the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you making room for the Holy Spirit to have His way in you? Or are you just wanting to see the healing? Or you just wanting to see the provision happen. Or you just wanting to see the end result, but you don't want to see the Holy Spirit working in you. What are you pursuing? Why? Will I cause those younger in their journey of faith to stumble? Romans 14, verse 1 says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." Verse 13, "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother." Verse 21, "It is not good to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes a brother to stumble." Paul's reminding us here not to pass judgment on one another. Rather than becoming a hindrance to one another, let's choose to aid and support each other's spiritual journey towards God. When we impose our opinions, especially about non-essential things, onto other people, we're literally setting them up to stumble. We're literally putting a barrier in front of them. Because what we're saying is that, you don't know how to do this, but I do. And this is the way you need to do it. This is how you're supposed to dress. This is how you're supposed to behave. You're playing God in their life. And this can be an attitude that any one of us can slip into if we're not operating out of that place of grace-filled goodness. So we become the stumbling block to our very own brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's not nice. D.L. Moody was an American evangelist that lived during the 1800s. And he tells a story of a blind man that was in a great city and was found sitting at a street corner with a lantern beside him. Someone went up to him and asked him why he had the lantern, since he was blind and the light of it was the same to him as the darkness. And the blind man simply replied, "So that no one may stumble over me." A blind man that is more concerned about other people around him, that he goes to these great lengths of providing light for them so that they don't trip over, so that they don't stumble over him. Are we that aware? Are we that conscious? Or are we that concerned of others around us that we would go to those sorts of lengths ourselves? There are people looking up at us. Young people looking up at us. Young people in the faith looking up at us. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for direction. They're looking for godly role models, for godly examples to follow. So what sort of light are we providing for them? Are we shining any light at all for them to be able to navigate through this life? Light that is according to the way that God wants us to live? What view are we giving them of God? What priority are we displaying to them of God? Is God really important in my life? Or is he just something that we just add on if we got time for it? Do we prioritize our life as a follower of Christ to grow in our personal relationship with Christ in a community setting? Like this, like life groups, like being out in the community. Those settings. Are we giving them light so that they don't trip over us, so that we don't become a stumbling block for them? Matthew 18, verses 5 to 6 says this, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it will be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." That's a pretty graphic image of the consequences for someone who causes a child to sin, right? A great millstone, not just a millstone, a great millstone, a really, really big millstone. The purpose of a millstone was that it was used to grind wheat into flour. So it's this massive round stone wheel. So if you can imagine something like that that's being tied around your neck and then being thrown into the ocean, there's very little possibility that you'll escape from that. And that's the point. when we lead a child, when we lead those that are young in the faith into sin, that's the consequences for us. When there is no light shining to give us a real and honest look at what these things can honestly do in our life, if we overindulge in them, right? There's nothing wrong with these things, okay? I had a burger like that yesterday. There's nothing wrong with them. But it's when they take priority of God in our lives. It's when they take the place of number one of God in our lives. Then that's dangerous ground. That's when it becomes a problem. If we consider ourselves to be a family of God, then let's look for ways. Let's find ways to aid and help each other in this spiritual journey towards God. Amen? So let's review. Gray. Okay, think about gray when you're going through those discussions with someone, right? Gray, G, glorify God. How is God honored in this? R, read from the Bible. What does the Bible say to you? What is the Bible saying to me? E, encounter the Holy Spirit. Does it dull or enhance your encounter with God's presence? And then why? Young believers won't stumble. Will I cause those younger in their journey of faith to stumble? Remember, Paul wants to give us, brothers and sisters in Christ, guidance on how to live out unity in the midst of the gray areas. And it has to do, it's a lot to do with choosing unity, choosing grace, choosing humility, choosing God's word, choosing others. But first and foremost, it's about choosing God. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us that we didn't come to faith in Christ just to eat and drink. Those freedoms from the restrictions of the law are real and meaningful, but they are not the point of the kingdom of God. There are other benefits to the kingdom of God. We get to receive God's declaration that we are righteous in His eyes because of our faith in Christ Jesus. We experience both peace and joy because of God's Holy Spirit that lives within each and every one of us. Our place with God is secure, safe, protected. And that should bring real stability and confidence and faith in our journey towards God. So here's our discussion question today. Are you willing to let go of everything that causes you to stumble? Are you willing to let go of everything that causes you to stumble? I'll give you 3 minutes. Have a chat with someone around you, you know, and remember, no judgment. Hear the brother out. Hear the sister out. Okay? Have a discussion about this. Let's talk about this. We family here, all right? And then I'll get you for the last minute to spend some time praying with each other. Is that okay? Let's go into our time of discussion. Cool?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.